Hello, this is Mike Moody, and today we're going to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. We marvel at his wonderful works. We marvel at what he has done in the past, what he is doing now for us that are saved, that he's there in thy presence as our great intercessor and our great mediator. When we think of what he has done already and the fact that he has gone to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins, and yet, Father, we look to the future and think of the wonderful things that he will accomplish, and yet we will be able to be with him. We that know Christ, so we are thankful for what you have done on our behalf through the person of thy Son. We just pray that we would rightly divide the word of truth as we open it today and proclaim the word to those listening in Randolph County. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we go through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus as a study together, a group study, if you will, these three short epistles, we see the final chapter of 2 Timothy is the last written word from Paul in the inspired word of God as he's going toward his martyrdom to lose his life for the name of Christ, for the person and work of Christ that he faithfully served for many years. We think of how this one Paul was going to finish and did finish the race, you might say. He finished well. It's one thing to start well, to run well, but with Paul as an example here, we as believers need to finish well. I heard from a brother quoted one time in his prayer as an older gentleman, an older saint in the Lord, he said, "O Lord, preserve me from dying a wicked, bitter old man." I paraphrase that from memory, but what meaning that has. Oh, to serve the Lord for years, and at whatever appointed time we have to go on to be with him, may we be one that finishes well. And listen to the words of Paul as he's looking toward physical death. Listen to what he says to Timothy as he is encouraging him to go on with the things of God. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now we see here the charge. We see when it says that he charges this one Timothy, and he's as well by the inspired word of God is a charge unto us before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here it means to earnestly testify is what that word charge means. To earnestly testify. We think of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. That word testified comes up whenever he was speaking in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." The Lord Jesus Christ. And here, Paul is earnestly testifying before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What an attitude to have that you're standing in the very presence of God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present one. You know, as it goes on, it says, "Who shall judge the quick," that is the living, "who shall judge the living in the dead. We see in John 5 that it speaks of how the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. So when we see here that he will judge the living and the dead, we think of spiritually those that are alive, those that are spiritually dead. In that sense, we'll see that the two judgments, the bema seat of Christ, how we as believers, the living, those that have been given spiritual life will be judged according to what we have done in our body as believers. Sin is not the question there, because our sin, as far as our destiny is concerned, has been taken care of. We that are living, we are that are called the quick, the living. If you remember in Ephesians, it spoke over there in a wonderful way, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. Now we've been made alive. So the bema seat is our future judgment. But then it says he also will judge the dead. Think of the spiritual dead. Those that are still lost and dead in trespasses and sins. That will be the great white throne of judgment. So here when it speaks of him judging the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, we see the two different judgments, the two different time periods. The church will be taken out of here. We see, and they're convinced by scripture, that it would be before the great tribulation. And then we see as his kingdom comes, we see the dead, those that have rejected Christ, the spiritually dead will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. We see that verse 2 picks up and says, preach the word. Preach the word. That means to proclaim or to herald. You know, you can proclaim and herald the word from a platform, from a street corner, by giving someone a tract, from talking to someone one-on-one. You can proclaim the word and herald the word in many ways, but preaching the word is a powerful way of bringing it forth. Preach the word, he said. Be instant in season, out of season. Well, when we see this, we see three questions. Why, when, and how? Well, one reason why is because of the fact that we are going before that judge, we that know Christ one day, will give account to what we have done. It says some will be saved as by fire. They'll have nothing to show in their Christian life that will be worthy of crowns. And oh, how embarrassing that would be to go before him and to be, have been bought with a price, to have been redeemed, and yet not have any crowns, or very few maybe, in light of eternity to throw back at the feet of the glorious one. So why would we preach the word? Because of our accountability to the judge, and also because of the lost, the love for the lost. We see in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, we see here the heart of Paul toward his brethren in the flesh, his kinsmen according to the flesh. 10 and 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We see in these three chapters his great desire that they might be saved. So we see as well, why do we preach the word? We have a desire for the lost to be saved. And also we see a desire for, as in Colossians 1:27, teaching every man and warning every man, a desire to see the word of God taught, that it may be obeyed, that Christ would be honored. As we also say, a desire for the, or a motive being the love we have for the Lord. It's one thing to love those lost souls. It's another thing to have the great motive of the love of the Lord. for his name's sake is the very bottom line of why we should do anything. For the his name's sake. Also, we say preach the word when. It says here in season and out of season. This might speak of when it's a time of convenience and when it's not convenient. Sometimes it's easy, perhaps, for me to, or these other brethren, to get on the radio and to make a tape, and then later that tape is played. Yet then it's another thing to stand up before resistance, to speak up at what would seem untimely. And we think of some situations such as Stephen, when he was speaking up and they heard the word and they gnashed on him with their teeth and they stoned him to death. This seemed to be perhaps out of season, yet he preached the word. And then we see that time when, and also in Acts, when Philip was sent right to the foot, the very feet of this man, this Ethiopian eunuch. And he opened the book where he was reading in Isaiah and preached Jesus to him. This was in season. A divine appointment from God to preach Jesus and the man receive Christ as his Savior. So whether it's in season or out of season, this is when we preach the word. And then we say, how do we preach the word? At the end of verse 2, it says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But it says how, with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, sometimes it takes time for someone to be discipled in the word as a young believer. And we need to be long suffering, but stick to the teaching and the doctrine. Don't yield from what is truth, but be long suffering, be patient. And yet when it comes to the gospel, sometimes that takes a while, because sometimes the Lord might deal with people and it might be an immediate conversion, and yet sometimes it might be a while the Lord deals with someone. So with long suffering and with sticking to the true, healthy doctrine, that's how we preach the word of God, whether it be teaching or whether it be evangelizing. May we do it with long suffering in doctrine. So we see here a twofold ministry, warning every man and teaching every man. We move on in, perhaps tomorrow, into our next verses, 3 on down. But as we end our discussion today, my charge to you is examine yourself and see whether you're finishing the course well. My friend, before today the Lord could come, you could be 20, 60, 90 years old. And you may not realize that we are about to finish our course. Or perhaps you were to lose your physical life earlier than you anticipated. Have you finished the race well? I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If there be one that knows not Christ that's listening today, may you listen to the word when it is preached. Take it to your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Join us tomorrow. Have a good day. Thank you.